Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning celebration. This is Pentecost Sunday. And my prayer is that you'll know something of the Holy Spirit just impacting your life again, filling you to overflowing, and you being able to be what God wants you to be in this world. And actually, we've come to that point in Matthew 5 where we're looking at salt and light, where we can truly be those things, His kingdom people, having an impact in society. Let me read the passage as Eugene Peterson writes. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Father God, pray that we will know something of what it is to know that change in our own hearts and lives, so we can see the changing others, that we will be that salt and that light in society, right where we are, right on the street where we live, to our neighbours, to our friends, to our family. We want to make a difference for you. So speak into our hearts as we share this passage together, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Peanuts cartoon showed Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown. She said, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school and I got sent to the principal's office. And it was your fault, Chuck." Charlie Brown responds, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" To which she declares, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Church, people, we have to be a better influence. Peppermint Patty spoke the truth, didn't she? We're always influencing someone, either positively or, sadly, negatively. We have that faithful presence in the world. But what do people see? What do they hear? As Christians, we are fully present and should be committed to our spheres of influence, whatever they may be, whether it be family, neighbours, places of work. Remember last time I spoke, we talked about Plan B. B attitudes call us to live and be what God longs for us to be. Be voices of hope to inspire, to renew, to enrich. Be hope to those who have no hope. The word pictures of salt and light that Jesus uses here are tied to the Beatitudes. Salt and light refer to the role we are to have within a decaying and dark world. The Beatitudes are poor in spirit, meekness, righteousness, purity of heart, and peacemaking are the character traits, the qualifications for those who follow Jesus. Now Jesus, in these verses 13 to 16, describes our role using two metaphors on how we are to impact the world, salt and light. They simply refer to the job description. John Stott rightly describes, "Christians have been blaming the meat of society for being rotten when the preserving salt has been taken out of it, and the house for getting darker when the light's been removed. It's time for Christians to recognise the responsibility to be salt and light in society." And I agree. As Christians, we are called to positively impact the world, not isolate ourselves from it. In order to have a direct influence on others, we need proximity, potency, and purity. We must be close to people while also being different from them. This can be a great challenge, I know. It's not impossible. Jesus said we are salt and light. Lloyd-Jones said salt is essentially different from the medium in which it is placed and in a sense exercises all its qualities by being different. It is simply another way of asking, am I representing Jesus everywhere I go? To do this does require proximity, potency and purity. Potency has to do with my spiritual strength, the level of readiness and equipping. Proximity has to do with my closeness to unbelievers. The greater my potency, the greater my proximity can afford to be. However, low potency makes high proximity a problem. And all the time, we're called to be maintain a life of purity. Not only are you God's means to influence the culture, you're God's only means. In other words, this is your identity in the world. It's what you are. So let's look at these three things. Potency. Jesus was trying to reframe the way his disciples saw themselves in the world. Instead of obeying a long list of rules, Jesus was urging his disciples to see that God's kingdom had come into the present in their lives, and each one is able to live with that kingdom life in a distinctive way. When functioning properly, salt and light have the power to transform. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, you should, or please be, salt and light, or here's how you can be salt and light. Jesus isn't asking to change into salt and light, because as kingdom people, that's what we already are. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Salt held a lot of meaning for people of Israel. For one thing, it was a sign of covenant. Every agreement to be legal included the sharing of salt. We may think salt's prime use is to add flavor to food, but it was also used as a preservative, important in a time and a place where refrigeration didn't exist. Salt was also valued for its cleansing and healing properties. Salt is a fundamental part of life. When Jesus says, you are salt, he's telling us you are a fundamental part of the way things are supposed to be in God's kingdom. And as salt, we are a sign of God's covenant with the world and his promise to redeem and heal it from brokenness. Key areas to living a potent Christian life are authenticity, compassion, sacrifice. A lifestyle inconsistent with our message can hinder our witness, while a lifestyle marked by servanthood and love can make our witness more credible. The fact remains that we're going to share the message of Jesus with our friends. Our lives must agree with our message. This is authenticity. God knows we will make mistakes and he uses us despite our shortcomings, but we are still called to live a consistent lifestyle. John Stott says God intends us to penetrate the world. Christian salt has no business to remain snugly in elegant little ecclesiastical salt cellars. Our place is to be rubbed into the secular community. As contagious Christians, we must demonstrate compassion not only because it's a mandate from God, Matthew 25, but it opens up people's hearts. Our witness must be marked by a deep, genuine love for others. I love the story of a true story of a very rough soldier that was part of the Scottish Highlanders. However, despite his demeanour, you begin to realise that this tough Highlander was a Christian. He was asked, how did he come to know Christ? And he told his story. There was a private in the same company who had become a Christian, he said. We gave him an awful time. The devil had a willing accomplice and I made that man's life miserable. One wet and rainy night, this soldier came in from his turn on sentry duty. He was tired and very wet, but before getting into bed, he got on his knees to pray. I'd had enough. My boots were heavy with mud and I hit him on one side of the head with my left boot and then on the other side of the head with my right boot. But he just simply continued with his prayers. It was the next morning. The next morning got me. I was shocked to find my boots beautifully cleaned and polished. This was the private's way of responding to me, his reply to all that he did. And you know what? It broke my heart. A hard heart was broken. That day, I repented and turned to God. Such was his testimony. I wonder whether we have such a potent testimony. I wonder whether we're dared to live it in our family, in our homes, in our workplace, on our streets. Because actually, that leads us to the next point, proximity. It doesn't matter how potent our relationship with Christ is, if we never get close to people who don't know Christ themselves. Your faith is to be public. There's no such thing as private Christian faith. So there's no good if it's left in the shaker. So if we're going to impact our world for Christ, the most effective approach must be through friendships and getting close to those who need to be reached. Simply being the people that God has called us to be in the places he has called us to serve. Sometimes it needs less words and more action. Pastor Ray Pritchard says, we who follow Jesus Christ are to be a moral disinfectant, stopping the spread of evil. We are to be conscious of the society, of the community, speaking out for what is true and right. By the way, that's why we're willing to live countercultural lives that are distinctively Christian. Christ followers are to be preserving influence, but to do that, we must be connected, be close to our community. Note the two words, salt of the earth, light of the world. You are light and can't be anything else but light. Its primary function is to eliminate darkness. Light was the very first thing that God created, and light is also directly connected to God's covenant with his chosen people. Oh, just one verse to illustrate. This is Isaiah 42 verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you. I've called you for good reason. I'll take your hand. I will guard you. I'll give us a covenant to the people as light to the nations. We can't hide, nor should we hide our light under a bucket. We have no choice but to shine. The question is, how are we shining? How close do we get? How are we reflecting God's light into the world around us? Bonhoeffer said, a flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. Jesus says, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The problem, we do not express the love of Christ nor extend his light. And we're nothing more than contaminated salt and concealed light. We must get so close and touch the object of our influence by rubbing shoulders with people, looking for ways to impact their lives. Instead of living almost exclusively in our Christian subculture, we must move out of isolation and begin to take the initiative, establish that rapport, find some common ground and build relationships with the lost. We need to understand until Christian starts to obey what God has said about living moral, merciful, compassionate lives, there's no preservative in society. The church needs to live as God intended us to live, being salt and being light, living out Christ-like love and righteousness in the world. Think about this proximity. I want you to think of one person you can get close to this week. What specifically can you do to spend time with them? Allow them to see the Christ life, the grace life in yours. So we need that proximity, we need that potency, but we have to practice purity. For effectiveness, we must retain Christ-likeness. A salt must retain its saltiness. Simply, if Christians become assimilated to non-Christians and contaminated by the impurities of the world, well, we lose their influence. Lloyd-Jones says the glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though it may hate it at first. If Christians are not indistinguishable from non-Christians, we are useless. We might as well be discarded like saltless salt, thrown out and trodden underfoot, as the text says. But Bruce says, what a come down from being saviours of society to supplying materials for footpaths. Jesus, in using these two metaphors, highlights proximity and potency, but also the dangers of impurity. Losing saltiness refers to not being different from the world. Hiding our light means we don't allow people to get close to us. Therefore, we lose out on the chance to influence others for Christ. A young boy, about 9 years, went with his parents to Europe one summer. As he visited many churches, he saw the massive stained glass portraits of the saints. When he returned, his Sunday school teacher asked what he liked most about his trip. He thought for a moment and said, "I love the awesomeness of who God is." His teacher then asked for his definition of someone who follows Christ. As his mind went back to those massive stained glass windows, he said, "A Christian is a person the light shines through." How true. Is the light of Christ shining through you? Are you allowing his light and life to be made visible in your life? Or has the light gone out? Has the passion for God become religious ritual and routine? We were not created to be secret disciples or to have quiet discussions on religious topics. We are commissioned to be firebrands for God, to bring hope and light and joy into the world. Salt has to be salty in order for it to be potent. Light has to be bright in order for it to be light in a room. Applied to us, we need to be different from the object we want to influence. We can't be bland salt or dull light if we want to impact others. Here's a helpful principle. What we are influenced by influences our influence. What we are influenced by influences our influence. If Jesus is not Lord and leader of your life, you will never have the pleasure of influencing others for him. Colossians 2 says that if you have died with Christ to the world's way of doing things, why do you let others tell you how to live? Is it though you are still under the world's influence? Is the word of God affecting the way you live? Or are you more influenced by the ways of the world? Are you more inspired by Christ or intimidated by the crowds? As salt and light, we are the sign that God keeps his promise. So the question is, how has Christ made me to be salt and light where I am? How am I cooperating with God in the process of becoming more and more like Christ at home, at work, with friends, with neighbours? What am I doing and saying that seasons the world around me with God's love and with light of light shining through, showing Christ, showing God to others, especially to those who can't see him yet? How is my life reflecting God's grace, shining on others who haven't experienced that grace yet? How do I see Jesus and show Jesus and share Jesus so that others might come to know Jesus? I realized looking back on my life that one of the main reasons I became a Christian was I saw Christ. I experienced Christ from others. The salt and light was evident. Being said that people are more influenced by sermons lived than by sermons preached. Please remember that no matter where you are in your Christian life, Jesus has placed you there as salt and light. So let's ask God to make us more effective salt and more effective light. As God answers that prayer, who knows what he might do in your family, your communities. We require a shift from doing church to being church. Being the church, engaging culture in our communities. So a non-relational life isn't an option. Let's not forget God chose the foolish things, the weak things, the lowly things, the things that are not. Just shame those that are. As I close, I want you to think about the book, The Mustard Seed Principle, subtitled, You Can Make a Difference in Tomorrow's Troubled World. It says, Jesus led us in on an astonishing secret. God has chosen to change the world through the lowly, the unassuming, and the imperceptible. That's always been God's strategy, changing the world through the conspiracy of the insignificant. He chose a ragged bunch of people to become the insurgents of his new order. And it's still the case, by the way. We are salt, we are light. It's God's policy to work through the embarrassing, the insignificant. We believe that he can do because he's given us power by his Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. You look at the first day of Pentecost to see how things changed. We are still the game changers for the world, salt shakers and lighthouses in the world, living and sharing the transforming power of Jesus. Now, isn't that worth giving your life for? Maybe so, for his glory.